911, what is your emergency?
Units respond code 3 to a 1050 on the highway. Vehicles are blocking multiple lanes.
We're en route to the hospital. Patient is currently having cardiac arrest.
Fire here. Send additional
truck. Protesters are outside of City Hall and they are not complying with our orders.
Out on one. Hold the air.
In a rapidly changing world for first responders where it seems that every day the rules and norms are changing, there is one voice you can count on to give you the latest in emergency news. That is Lifeline.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Lifeline 911 Podcast with your host, Erica.
Hello.
I'm your co-host, Gary, and today we are going to be discussing non-emergency reporting, freeing up resources for true emergencies. So, Erica, what is non-emergency reporting?
It is the ability for the citizen or the victim of a non-violent crime, usually, but more like think car burglary, that the person is or the suspect is no longer on scene, or you are parked at a, I don't know, shopping mall or something, and you come out and someone's broken your windshield or your back window or either of your passenger side or your driver's side window and stolen whatever is inside of your car. And the idea is to free up officers, literally, like in the introduction, to make sure that they can respond to those life-threatening emergencies. And this is a tough one, though, because people want to see a police officer when they feel violated.
Yes, absolutely.
I think I would want to. Mm-hmm. And we deal with it every day. And it's hard to tell someone who is very upset that to add insult to injury, no, you cannot have a police officer, because truthfully, there's not going to be anything that they can do mm-hmm. about what has happened to you.
Right. Yeah. And so the concept is kind of that you're, instead of sending a patrol officer out to take a report that's for something generally not in progress mm-hmm. And nothing major, but just, you know, I mean, to the person it's major, but, you know, someone, you know, stealing your laptop out of your car is not quite the same as like a building on fire.
Agreed.
So it's saving the officers from having to go out to those kind of calls and still allowing citizens to make these police reports that will then get sent to detectives and processed, and then you'll get a case number to give to insurance companies for remuneration, that kind mm-hmm. of thing, without it allows you to do it much faster.
And I think that is what makes it a little easier when you find when you end up having to tell the citizen that they cannot have a police officer come out. I try to soften that blow by saying, to be honest with you, it is, while I'm sure it's disappointing, here's the good side to that. One, you're not waiting in a queue until we can free up an officer to come and speak to you. You go online to, in our case, ireportaustin.com, and you begin to fill out your report. And inside of what? Is it even 10 minutes? Depending on the circumstances, you might be done. And you've got your case number.
Mm-hmm.
And you can then get done with that and dial it up and call your insurance and get that ball rolling. And whereas if you were waiting for an officer, it could easily be an hour or
easily,
longer.
Very easily.
And an hour is probably on the more conservative side.
Yeah, the very generous side. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes it a lot more convenient for the citizens as well, because, like, if you come out to your car and someone banged into your back bumper and drove off, you can actually file that report from your phone at your car at that exact moment. And in 10 minutes, you can be back on the road, continuing on with your life and moving on to the next, you know, getting the car fixed rather than having to wait there for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours or longer for, you know, a patrol officer to kind of respond to that. So it really helps expedite that for the citizens.
It does. And and as we said, it does free up the officers. But think about it. If you're just say this is a, you know, a Friday or a Saturday night during South By, which is what we have going on right now in the city. So that you have this influx of people into the city and you've got petty crime going on and people that are not from here and they're turning on one-way streets when they're not supposed to. And there's these fender benders and, you know, no one's injured, no one's hurt. It's just, it's inconvenient,
mm-hmm.
But instead of waiting, like we said, for hours for an officer to come and literally stand there and watch you two exchange your information, you can go ahead and do that yourself. And even if you are not from Austin, you can still do that report.
Right. Now, this is not a sort of a universal policy that all departments across the, the country and the world do. Different states and, you know, counties, municipalities have different rules and regulations. Yeah. So, like in New York State, for example, if you get into a minor collision, you're not supposed to move your car off the road.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. The troopers will get really mad at you if you do that.
Interesting.
Whereas in Texas, yeah, you're going to move the car off the road to not block the thoroughfare and possibly cause further injury. So depending on where you live, it may there may be different options or it may not be an option. But in a lot of municipalities, that is kind of a way to help shore up a shortage of officers.
Yep.
To keep them available to respond to highly critical calls.
Yes. And for a long time, we would respond to those.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what was it? Probably around COVID?
Or maybe
it was a little bit before?
When
we started that process, or was
it? Yeah, it was probably a little bit after, like, COVID started.
Yeah, but and when I began working here, I remember we responded to anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted a police officer, you got one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, along with the rest of the world, there was this unbelievable shortage of officers. And so we had to make some tough choices as to what we would respond to and why. And I'm sure there was a room full of the brass somewhere poring over these different types of calls, trying to make that decision, knowing that it might be met with some less than happy people.
Right. And it's certainly understandable why people would feel that way, because, you know, you've just had some sort of a crime committed against you. You want to see a police officer, but it's really so much generally faster.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the same sort of, care in your report that you would otherwise, and it frees up those resources. So it's kind of akin to, going to the grocery store or the shopping mall rather than going on to Amazon and having them deliver something to you. It's just a more advanced way of doing something that we used to do, because now the cop doesn't have to get into their car, drive all over creation just to hand you a piece of paper and take a report.
Yeah.
You can do that from the comfort of your home or wherever you're at almost instantaneously.
Very true. And also, I think you have the ability to supplement and add pictures and different things like that to help the detective with your case. I think what a lot of people probably wonder is, will it go anywhere when they don't see a police officer? I think I would probably wonder that, because if you think just from human nature, if you see a police officer, you get to ask them the questions. And if you are looking at this computer screen and you're inputting this information, you're wondering, okay, now how long is it going to take before it gets to whatever the next step is? Because your mind's eye, at least for me, I'm just imagining my report floating around in
the ether somewhere.
And God help us all if it's a Friday night. I would imagine nothing's going to happen until Monday, and then the detective has probably got 100 of these, or if not more than that, and then mine is just down there at the bottom of the pile, and you just have this sense that it's not going anywhere. But when you see a police officer face to face, you just feel better about it.
Yeah, and that's certainly, psychologically very true.
Yeah.
They do go to the same place, and the only difference in how it's kind of processed is just that initial point of contact. So instead of having an officer do it, you're doing it online, writing, your narrative, providing any evidence that can be, sent over the internet.
Yep.
I mean, you can't obviously send a fingerprint over the internet, but
right.
if you have a picture, And again, different municipalities throughout the country are going to have different levels of this. Sure. Some may not have any sort of non-emergency reporting that you can do, and you have to see a cop for each of it. And then some departments are very heavily leaning into that. And yeah. It's just a way to have more efficiency in the department.
I agree. Yeah. Because you don't want the police officer that could be responding to your life-threatening emergency tied up over here. And I know that it probably sounds like we're being dramatic, but we're really not.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the officer goes on scene, and I'm pretty sure this is the case in most places, once they go on scene, if they are speaking face-to-face with their complainant or their victim,
mm-hmm.
they can't just turn around and leave. Because something else comes out once they make contact, that I know at least for here. I mean, imagine they can say, I have to go because something major has happened. But typically, that's not the way it works. Once they're on scene with that person, they're there until it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, what you don't know and you don't see is the other major call that is coming out that needs response. And we don't have anyone because they are tied up on not less important, just less emergent.
Yes, exactly.
I think I would like to say it that way.
Sure, that's a very good way to put I believe.
Yeah.
And, going back to, in terms of efficiency, you know, if you had a really, like gung-ho police officer that was just, awesome and just going out to as many calls as they could and, writing as many reports as they could, in a really, really good day, they might, on average, kind of get through maybe 3.5, 4, 5 reports.
Yeah.
And that's because, first off, not every call they go to needs a report.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, you have travel time and, different cities have different amounts of traffic. Ours has its fair share.
Yes, it does.
And then you have to, get on scene, and see what's going on, start the whole process. Whereas if you have somebody sitting at a desk, maybe making a callback on some of these, calling people that have these reports in the queue that need help with them, you could do dozens and dozens of those in a regular shift. And for the automated ones, Erica, as you mentioned earlier, with the iReport, which is an online interface to do that, that doesn't even require any personnel.
No.
Because you're just, as the victim in the call, you're just inputting data. So that frees up even more resources.
Yeah. And for the longest time, didn't we have to, I think we're getting away from the ability to have someone on the phone actually take your report anymore. I mean, not doing away with it completely, but I envision the day will come when we will have almost not even that unless there's just a special set of circumstances.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because ultimately, what a police report does is it documents what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It takes down any evidence that it can find. Captures witnesses' names, victims, suspects, all of that.
Yep.
And then sends it over to a detective to look at and to continue either the investigation or to check up leads or do whatever a detective's going to do to try and get to the resolution of that case.
Yep.
So, inputting that information yourself into basically a kind of online data sheet only speeds up that whole process.
Yes, and I think the biggest takeaway is, like Gary said in the beginning, it's just faster. That's mm-hmm. number one. You are free now to go on with the rest of your day,
mm-hmm.
and the things that are important to the rest of your day, to pick up the kids or whatever that looks like for you, you're not just sitting there becoming more and more frustrated because you're just waiting for an officer. Now you can start the ball rolling on your claim, if you will. And that goes for not just fender benders, but that goes for break-ins.
Yeah.
That are, the suspect is no longer on scene. So the scenario is you come home from work and you walk up to your front door and you see that it is ajar, or you come home and you look around and you're like, wait a minute, something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that your house has been broken into.
Right. Not a great feeling.
No, not a great feeling. I can't even imagine. and, you know, you're fairly certain, confident that there's no one still there, your first instinct is going to be what?
Call the police.
Call the police. And you want to see a police officer. Matter of fact, you want lights and sirens. Mm-hmm. You want them to come screeching around the corner like they do on television.
Yeah. That,
by golly, that's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out that it can be done in our city, mm-hmm. On ireportaustin.com. That's actually what we're going to encourage you to do. Why? Because you can do the documentation of what is missing.
Mm-hmm.
Who better to tell us what's missing than you?
Yep. Gather up all the serial numbers, the values, product ID codes.
Yep. All those things.
Yeah. And at your own leisure.
Yeah. And you can begin to input that stuff versus waiting. Again, mm-hmm. if that were an option, waiting for someone to show up, and it might be an hour, it might be two,
mm-hmm.
it might even be longer than that.
Yeah. Just to kind of piggyback on that, I just provide clarification to the listeners. If you do come home to your house and, like, you find the door ajar.
I was just going to say, yep. Go ahead.
You don't, like, we're talking about if you've already gone in and found that there's nobody in there, you know.
Right. Yes, I agree. Thank you, Gary, because what I do not want you to do is pull up and you see it ajar and you just go assuming mm-hmm. that all is well. If in doubt, you call 911 and you tell them that you do not know that if there's someone still in the home.
Exactly.
Because we don't want you to go charging in there and put yourself in harm's way.
Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be good for anybody.
No.
So that is a kind of a great example of the difference between when doing a non-emergency, mm-hmm. like online, because if if you get to your car and you find that it's been burglarized, you can just do that online, which frees up that cop to go help that person who's like, I just got home. I don't know if anybody's in my home.
Yeah.
Which is a greater threat to that person's life.
Absolutely. Not just the property, but to their safety, because people have come home and caught burglaries in progress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's a very dangerous set of circumstances right there.
Yeah, because anyone that'll break into your home will do
lots of things yeah.
that are not good.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. So that's a really good impetus for kind of realizing that. It's akin to, like, if you, like, on your phone, people have apps for their, like, their car insurance.
Yeah.
So you can, like, just kind of take photos. Like, there's no reason to wait for an adjuster to come out to you. If you can take care of all that. And, like, people generally, I think, really like the convenience of those kind of apps. And, like,
they do.
There's just something, I think, that because it's so new to take reports, like, either, you know, just ingest them online, like, you go to a website and do them. But it, like, if you start thinking about it, like, oh, this is saving me a lot of time. You know,
yes.
Even if you don't care about, leaving the cops free to go other places. just be selfish for a second. Think about yourself. It's saving me time.
It's true.
Yeah.
I have had those conversations with people on the phone. For a second, they think about it, and just for a split second, they're offended that an officer isn't going to come out. And then when you explain, this is why, you will end up with the same report number. You will end up with the same the same process for mm-hmm. investigating, if you will, because the officer is not going to go through your home and catalog all of the things and go through your car and catalog all of the things.
Right.
Because they just don't have the time for mm-hmm. that. And then you can also potentially, depending on the circumstances, you might even be able to have someone come out and do the fingerprint.
Sure. Yeah.
Just at a later date, more convenient,
mm-hmm.
more convenient for you.
Yeah. And again, different departments are going to have different, you know, rules, policies, and procedures for all of this. So
yeah. This is Austin.
Yeah, this is just Austin. But if you're somewhere else in the country or the wide world, don't be afraid to, you know, check with your local department to see, you know, what kind of they offer in terms of that, because knowing that ahead of time may save you a lot of time.
Very much so. And you can be mentally prepared for the day that you're city, especially if it's a larger city,
mm-hmm.
you can almost bet if they're not already there, it won't be much longer.
Yeah, they're going to get there eventually.
Yeah, I think it's just the wave of the future, just like cell phones for a long time were what is that? They just weren't everywhere. Was it novelty?
Yeah,
would that ubiquitous. Be a good way to say? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They just weren't. They were not all over the place. You saw them. You knew they were there. But now, to look around, you can't imagine life without it. And it is. It's so commonplace. I think that we are going to eventually be there with the ability to do these reports online without the aid of a person.
Right. I mean, because it's just so much faster and more efficient. And
yeah.
It's also a lot cheaper for the department and
true.
The city
yeah.
Or whatever municipality they might be part of.
Very true.
Because it's just more efficient with resources.
Because you don't have to pay the computer system benefits and
nope.
all of the things. I mean, let's just be real, because the whole idea for our government agencies, especially with police and fire and EMS and just emergency services, you want them to be as efficient as possible in
yes.
whatever it is that they're doing, whether it be putting out fires or managing firefighter shifts or, you know, EMS and police, 911
mm-hmm.
for that matter. You want that whole engine to function as efficiently as possible. And
mm-hmm.
if that means pulling out the things that slow it down and create more work unnecessarily, not because we don't care, but it's
yeah.
just no longer efficient.
Yeah.
And that's I think that is the wave of the future.
Oh, absolutely. And really, I think that sort of that, you know, online reporting is going to make things better for everyone, because, again, it's faster. It's a lot easier, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because you'll be back in, you know, doing what you want to do with your life in 10 or 15 minutes.
Yep.
And,
you know, we were just talking before we went on to begin this recording about one of our colleagues just
yeah.
recently had her vehicle broken in yesterday, had her vehicle broken into while she was apartment sitting in a different part of the city. And I remember she's texting back and forth with me. And at some point she said, I'm going to have to do this online. And she had already gone online or was about to go online. And just in a matter of minutes, as we're texting back and forth, she's like, I'm on my way to go away from where I am because I do not feel safe.
Oh, yeah.
Again. I no longer feel safe. But now, if this were back in the day or not so long ago, she would have had to wait
mm-hmm.
in the place where she didn't feel that safe, or she would have felt compelled to wait because she would have been waiting for an officer to come to her.
Right.
Whereas now, her safety and her peace of mind was not compromised. She was able to get a friend. I think it was her dad. I apologize. I think it was her dad that came to help her handle that situation. And
mm-hmm.
then she was able to file a report, and off she goes.
Yeah. And then, you know, start getting the car fixed and, like,
yes.
you know, getting on with her life.
Yep.
Which ultimately everybody wants to do when any tragedy or crime or
sure.
whatever happens to you.
Yep.
You know, get back to normal. That's back important.
Back to your everyday activities.
Yes.
Activities.
So if you're listening to this and you're someone who, you know, works in a department that doesn't have sort of, you know, non-emergency reporting,
mm-hmm.
Are there any steps that you could think of that you would want to, like, maybe recommend to them to kind of move toward doing that?
I mean, unless... I'm thinking about on our level, right,
mm-hmm.
as far as a 911 operator, dispatcher, supervisor, that kind of person, I would start speaking to your leadership to see if they're headed that direction
mm-hmm.
or where are they in that process, because I'd bet my big toe if they haven't already started having those conversations, it's on the next meeting. You know, it's coming.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't suggest that you would, have a conversation with them about getting it started. It would be more like, what can I do to prepare for that day? Because I'm almost sure it's coming.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you tell any chief of police, hey, I can free up 20% of your patrol staff, you know.
Yeah.
Their eyes are going to get real bright
yep.
and they're going to want to do it.
They're going to want to know what that is.
Yeah.
And the initial investment may give them some heartburn, but if they're forward thinking, forward looking, it's a no brainer.
Yeah. And again, just a huge time saving for
yeah.
everyone involved.
And in some cases, a means to keep you safer than
mm-hmm.
what was the norm 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. So if you're living in an area where your department offers that, do take advantage of it.
And tell your friends.
Hopefully you won't ever have to. But if some minor crime does befall you, you may be able to save a lot of your time by not having to, you know, wait for a police officer to respond.
Yes.
Take care of that on your own.
And also just be mindful if your safety is in any way in jeopardy or could be, it's not worth it to stay in that area or in that situation. Get out of there, get to safety, and do the report online or figure something else out. And it's not worth it.
Yeah. Cars, jewelry, video games, they can all be replaced.
Absolutely.
People cannot.
Not so much.
Yeah. Doesn't quite work out as well.
No, not at all.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us this week. We really appreciate it. We've been talking about non-emergency report writing and how to free up resources for true emergencies. From everyone here at Lifeline 911 Podcast, I'm Gary.
I'm Erica.
And we will see you next week.
Thank you for watching our production of Lifeline 911 Podcast. If you have any questions about the topics we discussed today, or if there's something specific you'd like us to cover in a future episode, send us your questions at lifeline911podcast@gmail.com. Stay safe out there. Until next time, this is Lifeline 911, signing off.